everybody. Welcome to a brand new Ike Live. The show is brought to you by some amazing companies, including the presenting sponsor of Ike Live, Mystery Tackle Box MTB. It's like happiness right to your doorstep once a month. Mystery Tackle Box puts brand new lures, hot items in your hand once a month. Listen to me. Use the promo code IkeLive. Get 30% off your first Elite Box or 50% off your first Pro Box. That's unbelievable. Also brought to you by Tin Cup Whiskey. God, I love whiskey. This is American-style whiskey cut with Rocky Mountain water. It's got a classic finish to it. I personally love the rye. It's got a little bit of a bold, spicy finish. You're going to love this stuff. Straight from the Rockies to your glass. Also brought to you by TH Marine, the maker of great marine products, from everything from a John boat to a Biggie Smalls yacht. That's TH Marine. Go to thmarine.com, use the promo code IkeLive, and get $10 off a $50 order or more. Unbelievable. Brought to you by Flambeau, the makers of the best tackle storage systems in the world, including the brand new Crank Bank and Blade Crate. Of course, every single Flambeau tackle storage system has Z-Rust incorporated to help keep your hooks rust-free. Go to FlambeauOutdoors.com, use the promo code IkeLive, and get 20% off your entire order. That's unbelievable. Brought to you by Founders Beer. God, I love Founders. I'm such a beer guy, and I like all styles of beer. Founders makes them. I want you to go to foundersbrewing.com, or even better yet, download the Founders app. And by doing that, you can find out what dealer or bar has Founders right near you. Also, they're going to keep you ahead of the curve on brand new beer releases. That's foundersbrewing.com. This show's brought to you by Liquid Mayhem. Scent matters. Listen to me. If you want to catch more fish, if you want to catch bigger fish, try some Liquid Mayhem. Put it on your favorite lure, and you're going to get bit. Go to liquidmayhem.com. Use the promo code IkeLive. You ready for this? For 25% off your order of the best scent on the market. Liquid Mayhem. Also brought to you by Heshy Socks. That's right. Heshy Socks. Who doesn't love a good, comfortable, well-fitting sock? And guess what? The Ike Live crew had a hand in this, and we've got specially designed Ike-style socks just for you. Cushioned foot and toe, stay-up technology, and they've got a technology built in there where they won't stink. This is unbelievable, okay? Great designs, under $10, with the code IkeLive at HeshyWear.com. Also, they have Ike Foundation design socks. All proceeds go to the Ike Foundation. Brought to you by Torquedo Motors, the leader in electric motor drives. If you're one of the guys like me, you have a tiny boat, you have a John boat, you live on an electric-only lake, get a Torquedo if you want to be the fastest, most efficient boat on the water. Go to torquedo.com. And last but not least, the Ike Live show is brought to you by Hobie Kayaks. Hobie is the Cadillac of kayaks, and kayak fishing is changing the world. Easy access, easy to get into. I want you to go to Hobie.com to check out their large array of kayak products, including the one that I use, the Hobie 360. Listen to me. Prepare yourself. Get your popcorn. Get your Founders beer and tin cup whiskey. Get ready for a brand new Ike Live show coming up live right now.
Folks at home, how you doing tonight? Welcome to a brand new edition of Ike Live. We got a special one for you tonight. If you're looking at this right now and you're saying, man, these characters look tired and exhausted and beat down, you are correct, because we are right on the heels, just fresh off of our 6th annual Ike Ventilation Pro-Am, and I couldn't think of a better show and a better guest. Sitting to my right, the winner of that event, good friend of mine for like 50 or 60 years. I don't know how long we've known each other. Mark Schaefer joins us tonight. Mark.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
I'm stoked to have you here in studio.
I'm really impressed. I've known you a long time, and I remember when you started talking about your dreams, and, dude, this is
awesome, isn't it?
It
feels like things have come full circle here a little tonight.
Yes, it has. Yes.
We're going to get into it. But it's awesome to have you here. Sitting to my left, starting the show here, which is very unusual, the one and only Miss Rebecca. How you doing tonight, Beck?
I'm good, thank you.
Who are you wearing?
Oh,
who is this?
Crap. I don't know. It's a hippie dress.
Hippie dress. Very fashionable hippie dress tonight. Beck, awesome event. We're going to get into it, but we are tired. We were talking before the show started. So, Mark, like, we got back yesterday exhausted, tired. I'm going to admit it right now. I had a couple founders, and on my third founders, you went upstairs and said, man, let's get the kids to bed. It's, 9 o'clock or whatever. It's early. And I'm on my third founders. I'm still sitting downstairs, and I sat in the seat and said, well, I'll see you in a little bit. Come up when you're done. And, like, an hour later, I, like, woke myself up, and the founders still in my hand. Somehow. So we were exhausted. It was exhausting time.
I'm usually a nice wife. Like, I put the kids to bed, and if he's not there, I know he's passed out somewhere, and I go down and get him. I didn't go back down the stairs last night.
Didn't care.
I was like, now he can sleep wherever he lands.
Yeah. You just left me. It's okay. We're going to be talking about yesterday, and it was a great day.
Yes.
We've got two other guests here in studio with us, pushing buttons, making plays. Of course, the producer of the show, Mr. Brian the Carpenter. And next to Brian, we've got Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Fathead, a.k.a. Worf, a.k.a. Stormtrooper. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Is he
showing? No, it's not on. No. No, you think Brian would have something working?
Huh.
Nope, sure didn't work. Nope, nothing.
How
zero.
About that?
How about that?
Dude, you put the headset on. It's got the thing I'm about.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I think that microphone's... That's another one. Is this?
Oh, great. Another
right.
microphone.
Add that to the list.
I can't fix things when I don't know about them.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hard tell not knowing.
Hey, there's Dave.
But
usually a nice wife. That was a good line back when everybody remember that.
Yeah,
usually a nice wife.
Yeah, that's right.
That's real, though, right?
Yeah.
It's real honest.
Yeah, because who's always a nice wife?
A liar.
Somebody who's only been married for like 1 year. Yeah. The first year of marriage, maybe.
That's exactly it.
Maybe.
That's right. That's right. I'd like to also mention Dave and Brian, both you guys, fished the Pro-Am yesterday. We're going to be getting a little into your story, but from afar, how do you think the event ran from a tournament standpoint? Pretty good?
I mean, from a tournament standpoint, it runs as smooth as any major organization.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you guys... are very clear with what everyone needs to do via mic, via loudspeaker. Well, talk. I mean, I'm gonna be shouting if I talk loud.
Yeah, shout.
All right, and that Dave Haas checking in the boats. It ran amazing. You wouldn't even have known that it was like something constructed by Becky and like three other housewives. it's pretty amazing, actually, and you can tell she's been in the game a while because you don't know. It's like it runs as smooth as any BFL. Ever start anything you would jump into?
Smoother than the BFL. I mean, the BFL 2 weeks prior was only 20 more boats, and
I heard it was a disaster.
It was a disaster, dude. I mean, my daughter and I got there five. Like nobody was there because we show up the ramp, and it's like Dave goes, everybody showed up at once. We were sitting in the water with a half hour to spare.
Wow.
You got that many boats in in a half an hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Very impressive.
That's yeah, it's awesome. Very impressive.
And Dave, you just gave me, you know how I get these ideas? I get these flashes of things that I think will be a success, whether it's a product or a concept, show concept. I got one based on what you just said. Beck, we're gonna create a new show called The Real Housewives of the Ike Foundation. Shop that to Bravo.
Sounds really entertaining.
That might get about two more views than Charles' kayak build. One of the most amazing things ever put on YouTube about building kayaks. Yeah. Like nobody watched.
Nobody watched.
I feel so bad for him.
I have to tell you about women launching boats, though, in the morning. If women yell at men in the dark, I think men instantly hear their mom or their wife yelling at them, and they just move.
They
move so fast. They listen.
All right. So
that's why the registration's down this year. Maybe. You girls cackling at the dudes in the morning.
Maybe.
There's too many witnesses to handle it the way they want to.
Right. Yeah. If the competitive circuits are watching right now, if Redman it's not called Redman anymore. What is it called?
BFL.
BFL, if you're watching, or Chester County Bassmasters, or whoever's our competitors out there, have women backing the boats in and yelling at people. It'll happen quicker.
Right. I have to say, I was not too horrified with anyone backing a boat down this time.
No, except the one. I did see something amazing.
Oh, okay. Go.
I got to tell the story real quick. I was going to tell it later, but tell it now. So I was there, and I was actually handing some ice out in the morning. Had my truck parked there. I was handing some ice out, and I saw this, you know, boat backing down. Beautiful, brand new, a gorgeous. I want to say it was like a Vexus, just giant motor on the back. Gorgeous boat. $100,000 boat, probably more. And, you know, he's telling his partner, "Come on, back it in. Back it up, Mike. Come out." You know, and the boat drifts off, and I watched drift. It was just a perfect launch. And he had that outboard trimmed all the way up and out.
No.
And I was like, man, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, man, at this point, I'm like, if I was him, I would put that down just a little because it's so high.
He's going to stick somebody.
You know? And all of a sudden, I hear the dude crank the motor.
Mm. Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, huh. Yeah. Well, surely he's going to hear that the prop, because it makes a different sound
sure
when the prop's out of the water. And he cranks the, and it's, dah, 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 dah. And it's, you can hear it running, and now he's still drifting
because
he's got, and he's drifting into that left hand dock. If
yeah.
you're backing in,
yeah, yeah, prop first.
And he realizes it. Instead of getting out of the seat and pushing off, he puts it in gear. The prop is 4 foot out of the water.
Oh,
dude, it starts to hit the plastic, the black plastic and metal of the dock. And it's just ding, 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 ding. And dude, he's yelling. Ah! He's screaming like he's being hurt.
Oh my God.
And everybody just stopped what they were doing and looked.
Right.
And just looked. And he eventually got out of there. Finally trimmed it down and idled off, and I never saw what happened the rest of the day. But that I saw that happen. It was the first time ever.
Oh,
I saw that dock get chewed up by
the motors
in
the water. That's what's terrifying when you mix bass fishing with saltwater launchers.
Yeah.
They are absolutely – usually you get drunk dad. Like,
yeah.
like yelling at everybody
because
they ain't getting on the boat the same way.
Yeah.
All the kids are like out there with gaffs trying to get the thing in line. You know what I mean?
It's funny. It's funny you say that because there's truth in saltwater launchers because there's a different – method when those guys launch. And also North Jersey trout dum-dums also have that launching method. You ever see them up there at Round Valley or Merrill Creek, Bri?
Yeah.
Those damn trollers that troll.
Yeah, yeah.
The dude backs them in, and he always holds a rope.
Oh, yeah. Dope ropes.
Yeah, dope with ropes. Dude, get in the boat. And why with the rope?
Yeah.
Like, what is the thing with the rope?
Pontoon boats. And,
yeah.
Anyhow.
It's terrible. Anyway, so that happened. But we're going to be getting
But it was a great event.
It was a great event. We're going to be getting all into that in a second. It's going to be a great show.
Oh,
yeah.
So, yeah. So, who would be the women launchers, Beck? Who would be your A squad?
Oh, to physically back the boats down.
Physically.
Wow. Well, I guess I haven't really been out on the road that much, but I would say, like, my core group from back in the day that I could easily tell you could back them down with probably, like, one eye, like, patched like a pirate.
No, the,
like,
the bitch is barking out commands at the ramp.
Oh, I don't think any of our ladies could back a boat down.
No. Police. She's missing it.
That's all right.
You want me to say the ladies' names?
Yeah, well, who would run that?
Oh, a tournament.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Kate's real snarly.
I think Janet can get after it, too.
But
I was thinking, like, on the Elite Series and such, the ladies that you've toured with over the years, who would be your A squad that you choose from?
Carrie Short, Julia Kennedy.
I've seen her work, Kennedy. She gets after it with dogs across her lap looking out the window.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's where I was going. Why did you correct me? That's where I was going. He confused me.
Me?
No, him.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's been a long weekend. It's okay.
He just doesn't want me to talk. He wants to talk.
I know.
No, it's not that.
Leslie Martins.
Leslie can back a boat. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, yeah, all the campground ladies are beasts in backing down boats. Like, Tammy Cook used to do it with a dog, like, running around the back, too. I'm done.
I'm sorry. Show's yours, Mike.
Great job, Brian. What's next?
Go ahead. This is the Brian show tonight.
No, it's not. I'm out.
I don't even know where I'm at now.
I'm not sure where we went.
You got the champ next to you.
Yeah, we do. I know. We have Mark here. We're going to talk to Mark.
And I put my motor in the water.
Your motor was down.
It was in the water.
It was in the water.
Yeah.
Didn't chop up a duck, which is good.
No.
All right, listen. If you're watching over on Facebook, do me a favor. Like and share the feed. If you do that, you're entered in a contest to win the Ike Life gift bag, which hasn't been here in fucking five shows, wherever that's at.
Rich took it.
Rich took it.
He had to mail it.
He's doing squats with it. It's so heavy.
He's doing squats with it. Like and share the feed over on Facebook. You're going to be entered in a contest to win our bag, which is not here anymore. Have no idea. Got a half a spot promotion. Brian Carpenter. Fill us in on that. Oh, okay.
This show is amazing.
I was
going to
go get that alleged gift bag. But I'll come back here. Oh, my God.
Well, the studio probably got cleaned up by the ladies.
Well, the cables got completely tangled up, so probably.
Yeah.
Like, there's no dust to be seen.
You
but
know, we're really thankful that y'all are watching.
All five viewers just tuned out.
Yeah, so half a spot, yeah. Right? Download the app, fish against me and Rich and Mike and a bunch of other guys, Ben Milliken, Zach Burge.
Yeah, this is your month. This is your month right now, so people can fish against you guys.
That's right.
You and Rich this month.
Fish
and
for,
and
fish
I think Ish has a tournament, and then yours is July, right?
Right.
Yeah. So people get to compete against you guys, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I like the options. So you can either be a boat angler, you can be a bank angler.
Right.
Was there also like a kayak angler?
Yep.
There's like different options you pay. Like there's a tiering system or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty cool.
It's very,
yeah.
very cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's a championship on Gunnersville in October.
Oh, that should be good.
We'll qualify for that.
Yeah. Frog time, Gunnersville in October. Yeah. I like it. All right, let's get the show started. I want to thank our military, active and veterans, men and women. Thank you guys for what you do. Shout out to policemen and firemen, EMT. Thank you, man. It's a crazy world. Appreciate everything. I want to start with the event itself.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about it's a difficult event to prepare for. How long, how many months ago, did you guys start preparing for the Ike Foundation event?
Probably anywhere from like 6 to 8 months ago. Probably 8 months because we have to pick a date. You know
right.
what I mean? As soon as the tournament organizations put out, the major tournament organizations put out their tournament schedule,
yeah.
we pick. And we try to pick a date relatively early to kind of get in before all the local folks, you know, pick. You know, their date and everything. So we start planning. We start getting, you know, the website together. We probably never stop planning because
yeah.
tomorrow we'll have a meeting and recap every pro and con that everybody has from the event.
Wow.
So that we
debrief.
Can, yeah,
yeah,
you know, we've got to change things. This didn't work. We've got to do something different. I mean, it's a constant flow. So I don't think we ever stop talking about the pro-am.
Yeah.
We're always working with the community. Cecil County is amazing. We work with Sandy over there, and we're probably in conversation with her year-round, but real hot and heavy probably 6 months prior.
Yeah. This was the sixth year mm-hmm. you guys have run this event. Has it gotten easier for you guys over those years? Like, I look back on the first one on the Delaware River. We had, like, less than 50 boats. It was, you know, I remember how everything was new and a challenge. Has it gotten easier all these years later?
I think the running of it, because so much of it is the same, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And we're a little less stressed because we already have a template. You know, we're
right.
just we're just, you know, we're putting that template in place. I would say the last couple years, the thing that has been hard is that we always used to throw the big kids family event.
Right.
And then COVID hit last year. We couldn't do anything.
Right.
But that was a constant, like, we didn't know, would we be allowed, not allowed. So, I mean, I guess in that regard, it was a little easier. We didn't have that piece. Then this year, it was like, can we do something? We can't have a fun fest, but we're going to be able to get a handful of kids out. We can social distance. We're going to partner with a Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
And then things opened up right before. So, you know, we were allowed to have crowds because in 2020, we couldn't even let people watch the weigh-in, which is why we were on that dock, you know, so that people couldn't really get to us because we weren't allowed to have people come or we could get in trouble. So I think the last 2 years have been the difficult part has been the rules are ever changing because of the environment of, you know, our world.
Yeah. And Mark, I mentioned this on stage, but you guys were all out fishing, you know, you and Brian and Dave and all the guys were out fishing. We had an amazing kids segment to the day, which was so cool. So we had a little over 100 kids working with the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, so we partnered with the Boys and Girls Club, and they had to pre-register with a parent. So the kids came with a parent or guardian, an adult.
Yep.
And, we were able to do two shifts of 50.
Two shifts of 50.
Yeah.
And they had casting. They had lure painting, lure design.
Yep.
They had fishing.
Actual fishing on the dock.
Which, over the years of doing kids events, I love the ones where they can fish.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like the casting stuff's cool. The instruction's cool. We had a biologist there that filleted a snake head. Like, there was some cool interactive stuff going on.
Yeah,
outside of it. But the fishing part was unbelievable. Like, to see that again, like I said, I missed it. Like, last year, it wasn't there. And it was great seeing that part again.
Yeah, the cool thing about the snakehead being filleted was a girl was actually taught how to do it, and she did part of it. She got a merit badge as a Girl Scout.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Here's the other cool about...
Yeah, she's a Girl Scout.
Wow, she got it. That's cool.
Yeah, she got that. And here's the other cool thing about the filleting of the snakeheads. I got to take the fillets home and ate them last night.
I was going to say, they're supposed to be pretty good.
How'd you cook them?
Yeah, Beck? Panko? What was it?
Yeah, I just did like a breadcrumb parmesan and kind of pan fried them in olive oil and then just did lime juice right at the end. They were amazing.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Snakeheads.
Because it was a white fish, so I didn't want to go too crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
That's what I heard. I'm not going to say nothing, but
it's good.
Haven't caught them.
Yeah.
Now, oh boy, now next weekend. Watch,
oh,
we
yeah.
Go.
It'll be all snakeheads next week.
We'll all have food.
Net. Snakehead. Net. Snakehead. Yeah. No, we won't jinx you on that one. But it was great seeing the kids fishing, casting. I heard from, I want to say, somewhere between 12 and 20 kids yesterday that when they caught a fish, you know, they were holding up. Dude, you could see them lit up, smiles, and it was their first fish they ever caught. So
It
was awesome. You know, I know a lot of those kids we had come up from the Baltimore area. We had a lot of inner city kids. So, man, to see kids, you know, lit up on a bullhead that's that big or a bluegill, you know, that's the first thing that pulled back.
Yeah.
Using all those little ultralight Ike Dude rods. Dude, it was bomb. It was bomb. So there was a whole nother.
That was the really cool part about who we partnered with.
Yeah,
they
was awesome.
Brought us families and kids who did not have fishing experience.
Well, you told me a story about an interaction you had with a single mom. Why don't you tell everybody that one? That was a good one.
Yeah, so there was a mom who came and she brought her kid and she was so excited because, you know, she wanted to get her kid in the outdoors, but she didn't know the first thing about fishing. So she was incredibly intimidated. So she was excited to come and she was so appreciative.
Wow.
I mean, the rod that they took home, we actually got out of the package, and because they used different rods when they were with us, and then we sent them home with a new rod.
Oh, nice.
We actually pulled it out, showed her how to tie the knot on to, like, put the hook, because she wanted to take her kid fishing again.
Awesome.
But she wanted to make sure she had a whole skill set. She was so excited. I mean, probably more excited than the kid, because she felt like she had learned something as well that she could pass along to her child.
Yeah.
Well, it's just good that parents and any single mom or single dad want to get their kids involved in the outdoors instead of doing the lazy thing and just, you know, give them a PlayStation.
Yeah, tablet.
Yep, here you go. Sitting in a room.
Remote.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
And I think the thing that we forget is that we all know how to, you know, spool up a rod. You know, we know how to tie the hook on. We know, like, what our bait selection should be. Think about the person who knows nothing, and they walk into a tackle shop or even a Walmart or whatever, and they're looking at the wall going,
yeah.
You know, like, how do you start?
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's really intimidating.
Well, that's what I liked about that story, because usually the kids and the parents you interact with are the Federation guys that have the guts to fish the tournament, and they bring their kids and suck up all the free stuff.
Yeah.
These were actually, like, kids you got
from the
inner city to come up with their parents and experience this for the first time, which is what this whole thing was created for.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's the best part about the whole thing.
It's funny, because somebody asked me next year when everything opens up, do you want to do that, you know, that big fun fest again? And after yesterday, I don't know if I really do, because the folks that come know about us. They know Mike. They come because they know fishing. We got the kids that got that first chance to experience fishing.
That's important.
That's what I want to do again. Absolutely. Those are the kids. That's the target.
You got to get the Chinese auction back ASAP. Like, I live for that. I live for failing at the gift that I want. It's the only adult Christmas I get. Like, I ask for this thing, and I don't get it. You know, I get, like, the version I won't show nobody.
Well, we'll make sure to – we'll still make sure to have, you know, like, the scholarship dinner and all the
auctions.
Have
that
it's all,
again,
Dave, it's all coming back. Life's going to get back to normal. Fauci's emails are being uncovered.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, geez, let's not go
there. We're in good shape.
We're just going to keep talking about fishing.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about Fauci. All right. it was super cool part of the event. So happy, so glad we could have the kids back this year. And at the same time, and again, I'm saying this for people watching and listening that don't know how it ran. At the same time, in conjunction, we had our event going on. And
So we get down there just to give people an idea of timing wise. We're down there between 2:30 and 3:00 to make sure that we are set up, because we've got a ton of paperwork. We give everybody, you know, G juice and bags of ice and all sorts of goodie bags and stuff. So the moment they pull in, we're giving them stuff. We get them on the water. We launch them at 6 a.m. We drive around to the park. We set up this entire experience for these kids. We do that till about 12:30. Soon as 12:30 is done, that's a full breakdown to start a weigh-in at 2:00.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So it's like two events in one.
It is two events in
one. Two events in
one. And we couldn't do it without the volunteers.
Couldn't do it without the volunteers.
A lot of work.
Big shout out to the Ike Foundation team, the sponsors, the volunteers. Thank you guys for making that happen. And here's – I want to use this as a little segue – we are super excited because we've been giving away a Basscat Yamaha for 6 straight years now. We have great sponsors in a Basscat Yamaha, but that's a big deal. Mark, we've been fishing forever in the Northeast. We've you know, as long as you can imagine up here, and in this part of the world, to fish a tournament with the first place of a boat and motor is hard to do. Oh. I can't remember that many times in my career in the Northeast fishing for that. Foxwoods, maybe, like, back in the day, but I mean,
I've been doing this. I think I started, got my first bass club when I was probably 26. I'm just turned 60. And, you know, when I hear, you know, see, like, you want a boat, the older guys, like, everybody's winning about, I was like, man, but you got to travel. You got to big tournaments.
Yeah.
But the fish, you know, within an hour and a half of your home, especially in a tournament where I felt, and the reason I fished was just to make the donation to the foundation.
Yeah.
But to have a prize like that for something you're doing out of the kindness of your heart for the charity, I mean, maybe some guys are fishing just for the boat.
Yeah.
I was not down there to win the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really wasn't. I was down there to spend just time with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, took my kid fishing.
Yeah.
And that's all it was about. But to be able to fish for a boat and a motor like that, in your backyard, it's like, dude, it's sick. That's
awesome. It's awesome. And I heard that same thing from 99% of the people that came across the stage that said, you know, look, I'm competitive. I'm here. I wanted to win this, right?
Yeah.
Dude, look at some of the names we had there. You know, the biggest hammers on the upper you can imagine. And they all said the same thing. They said, look, man, we're here to support the charity. And I was like, thank you. Couldn't thank them enough. You know, winning the boat is great, but
that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah,
you know?
Guys supporting the charity means a lot.
That's awesome. The main thing, and what you guys are doing to introduce the kids to fishing. Because, you know, growing up in South Jersey, and I remember it's exciting now today to see so many. You know, I live in Williamstown, not too far from you.
Yeah.
Everybody, when they see me at a gas station, what kind of boat's that? What's that on the front of your boat?
Yeah.
Never saw a bass boat.
Yeah.
Now we got.
You're talking about your Bigfoot that's on the front still?
I was asking about. Hand control boat.
I had a guy.
I was waiting for that.
I had a guy tell me, he goes, I was off to your left. I said, I didn't see there was a boat. He goes, yeah, I was about 1,000 yards away, but I know it was you. I'm like, damn that troll mother.
We were within 50 yards of you for about 2.5 hours.
Dude. Oh, was that you?
Yeah. And we only knew because of the gold boat and the damn Bigfoot on the front.
I wound up getting another foot control troll motor. Old habits don't die. I'm just so used to that motor.
Yeah.
I tell everybody I've had a spot lock for years.
Yeah.
I hit that little Bigfoot on. It's running, and especially when you get in rough water, when we fish the bigger water, being on that foot control, and that head always turns.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, we have a lot of 16-somethings, 17-year-old guys watching us. Brian, could you bring up what a Bigfoot actually looks like for these guys? Because it's almost like if somebody was talking about a Studebaker to us.
Yeah.
When we were like 16, you know, we'd be like, what? They look like
well,
that.
Well, you know, if you look at that troll motor, a lot of guys have the extension for a hand, so you can use your hand. I tried that at once, but it always gets in the way. Fishing with the Bigfoot that I use on my trolling motor, there's one or two of us out. I'm the only one with the Bigfoot. Other guys got the hand. It's like resting your foot on a stool.
Yeah.
Everybody can, you know, like I don't stand, like, oh, you stand on one leg all day. No, I don't. I'm kind of, you know, resting my foot on a stool. And then a lot of times I can stand flat-footed. And I always got my balance, and I got the troll motor on because it's controlled by, you know, just a Bigfoot switch.
Here's somebody else that uses a Bigfoot, the foot steering arm and the switch, Vegas the Hammer, my son.
Does he?
So I had it on my original crawl, Dad, in 1990, never took it off. It's the exact Bigfoot I've had. I've had to, like, repair it. I want more because I've looked for them on eBay. I can't even find them anymore.
Well, you happen to know somebody sitting about 3 feet from you.
Well, I might.
That's got like four of them.
I might have to try to, even if it's a used one, I'm going to have to try to get one.
Nah, dude, there was the time when, you know, because the law of probability always happens when you're bass fishing, you know, it breaks. And, you know, what do you do? And who carries that, right?
Yeah.
So I went on a mission and, I got a stockpile of them.
Wow.
See, but it's almost a curse because we didn't do a good job explaining Mark's reputation in the Federation, the type of killer that he is and just the hardworking guy that he is. Like, that when you pull up and, like, you recognize that's your boat because you're big – it's like I made the good choice where I'm at, but oh shit, Mark's in my area. that's what me and John were like,
It is true. I didn't think about that because most of the time – you know, a boat will be identified by a wrap, right? Or a color, or, you know, different color power poles. But yours is the troll motor. You're right. You stand out.
Dude, I was down Kerr Reservoir and Haas and String. I don't know what, because they said, we saw you the other day. I'm like, you know, Kerr Reservoir, right? I'm like, where? You were fishing the cove where our house was at. I'm like, damn that troll motor.
There's two Federation OGs that fished yesterday who have, like, for you, it's that trolling motor. And for Bob Soley, it's the white boat with no power poles. Like, the
no
only
poles.
Boat in the field with no power poles.
They don't give a shit. No poles. Yeah. Bob's electronics are from, like, the 90s. They're, like, this big. He doesn't care.
Crack power poles. Crack screen,
Oh, yeah. They don't care. All right, we got up on the screen. Here's a picture of – I don't think that's the exact one Mark uses, but it's
– He uses the kick one.
Yeah, he uses the kick one, but – yeah. But that's like
– That was the only one I could find.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a good representation of what it is.
That's how outdated I am.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, I love it. Vegas uses it. So.
You know what I like a feature about it is the troll motor has reverse.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, when you get – like how many times you go into a lay down or something because you get snagged up, you know.
A lot.
Yeah, and you go
– Yeah.
Especially when you got to chase down a jackhammer, right? Yeah. You got to go in and get it. With a regular, you know, your foot control – you have to spin.
Right.
And how many times do you have to – you got to pick it up, basically chop your way like the guy did with the prop back in, bring it out of the water and beat the branches to back your way out.
Yeah.
Or start the big motor up. But that thing, dude, I can go right in, hit reverse.
Hit reverse, pull, come right back
it's
out.
Real sweet. Yeah. I really – I haven't I was almost going to make the switch because I didn't know how I was going to be able to hold up.
Yeah.
But because I run a machine, heavy equipment my whole life, I'm sitting down pulling levers and stuff like that. So for me to stand up in front of that Beaufort, it's kind of a break for me.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's kind of, a lot of people don't know how I use it. It's, dude, I kick it. And then sometimes people say, dude, I seen you.
You can't find it.
Yeah.
So that's how amazing it is. I typed in old school Kickfoot Bigfoot trolling motor. Nothing came up.
Yeah.
You can't find it.
No, you can't find them.
Picture a spatula that's about 24 inches long,
spatula.
6 inches wide,
it's kind of
upside
like,
down.
Yeah.
That's what a Bigfoot looks like, and you kick it with your foot while your trolling motor is on, and that's how you steer it. You steer it with your foot by kicking it.
Yeah.
Or you just kind of softly just put it on. It's really not – the reason I went to it, because back in 1989, Harvey Knight, when I was back in the nation, you know, the Federation, he put out there, everybody bought a boat from him, if you win Mr. Bass, we get a $500 gift certificate. Well, I was fortunate. I won Mr. Bass. At the same year, I qualified to go down to Kentucky Lake for the Red Man Operation Bass. And I had the old Mercury cable troll motors. Well, excuse me. We all know what happens with cables.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm down in Kentucky Lake, having my observer drive me around with the outboard because my cable's broke and nobody, you know, so when I went home, I told Harvey, I said, yo, instead of that $500 gift card, I'll take that Everrude troll motor you were telling me about. And so there you go. From 1989 till today, I'm still using it.
Wow.
So, hey, Mark, Milk Carton has said, there's nothing more manly than Mark with tattoos, jean shorts, white tube socks, and New Balance shoes.
Yeah.
Life goals.
They like my tan line, too. That's a working man's tan line. Yeah.
America right there, folks.
That dude right there just won a mystery tackle box 3 months subscription.
Yeah. Great comment. Just won MTB.
Like shit. I'll not even do that.
He wins. Get his info.
It's funny, though. It's funny. It is true that once you get used to something, once it becomes part of your style, right, as an angler. Like for me, I never used a hot foot day one. My first bass boat, which I won as an amateur, didn't have a hot foot. It was a Ranger 374V with a 150 Johnson fast strike on it. No hot foot, right? No hot foot, just throttle. So that year I learned with it. The next year, the following year, you know, I had that shit. I had that boat all the way up until, you know, the late 90s. That same boat with no hot foot. So then as my career progressed and I started being able to order new boats, you know, and getting delayed bill boats and all that stuff and building boats, you know, it was like they were almost every time I'd order it through a marina dealership, they were almost like, what? No hot. You don't. Your hot foot's not on this order. No, I don't need a hot foot. What? No hot foot. I think I'm like one of the only guys.
To this day.
At the tour level that doesn't use a hot foot.
This was a conversation the other day because Rich pulled in because Rich bought one of your old boats. And
where's the hot foot?
Yeah. And one of the guys was like, man, that boat, I don't know how he drives it. Doesn't have a hot foot. And I'm like, that's Mike's.
Yeah, it's got no gas.
They're like, how does he not have a hot foot? How did he never switch? And I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And he like sits on his one foot.
Well, I'll bet you there'd probably be a lot less accidents. Craziness by guys running the boats if they didn't have a hot foot, because when you have a hot foot, you got both hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
And then it's like you see them out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, I run hard too, but I know how to run the boat, so I'm not up there trying walking, beating myself up. That's because they got a peg and they're holding on to the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of crazy things out there. But when you the old school, you know, when you're getting real rough water, whether you like it or not, the throttle's coming up.
Yeah.
Almost, so you can it's a little bit safer, but me personally, when I got the first boat that they put a hot foot in, I was like, this is like drag racing.
Yeah.
Whoa, you know, here we go. So you get that Yamaha that as soon as I got the four stroke, that, as you know, man, that is a beast of
a
motor.
Beast,
and it sounds bad when it comes on. And that's why I told my daughter, I said, strap down. I said, cause we're going to go. Cause I said, the boat's going to go as fast as I can go.
But
the old school stuff, dude, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, what do you got?
Our buddy John McGraw just sent. Apparently he has one.
He has one. Wow.
To you youngins, this is what it looks like.
That's it.
Yep.
That attaches underneath the head of a hand-controlled trolling motor where you control the throttle by left or right.
That's right.
And left for reverse, right for forward, and it hooks on there, and that's what you... He didn't like when I said kick. That's when you gingerly tap with your foot, which way you want to steer.
Oh, no, you kick it sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when you break one off.
Yeah, you break one off or miss one.
Vegas just sits there and like...
Yeah. He's too light, probably, to move that foot pedal, right?
Who, Vegas?
Yeah.
No, he does it. He can do it with his foot, but he does a lot with his hand, too.
But I mean like a foot pedal
foot pedal troll motor. Yeah, he's... Last year, we started to break him into using the foot control on my Ghost, and he does okay with it.
The Ghost,
I mean, McGee can work
Ghost.
It. Out.
Yeah.
Who, Jesse?
On the Ghost. But
he stands up with 2 feet.
Yeah, he stands on it like a wakeboard.
Yeah.
like a skimboard.
But, no, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing with Vegas that I do want to throw out there with that motor, which I think was really good for him early on, was he learned on that motor, right?
Yeah.
And it's easy. Right, it's left, right. It's you're in control of it. There's no like your mind doesn't have to. There's none of this.
Right, doesn't have to be.
So early on in the boat, him up front, letting him do his own thing. I like that because he was thinking about the fish.
Yeah.
What the fish were doing, how to change. He's thinking about the important stuff, not the motor. He'll figure that out when he gets to be a teenager.
Oh, and you think too with that hand control. With your foot, sometimes if you don't know which way the head is. I mean, how many times have you guys stepped on your trolling motor and you kind of had it on high and the head was kind of around? You're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's not saying that doesn't happen with a hand control because quick story. I was down in Florida fishing with John Erickson on the St. John's River, and I got into a spot with all these trees I'm trying to maneuver.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had my trolling motor on high. Well, I took that Bigfoot and I was like in a catcher position because I was trying to push off and I had the motor this way. Well, as soon as I let go of the motor, and I just hit my switch. When I hit the switch, I need to say the boat went left, and I went down. So I should have realized, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So the only thing I forgot was the motor was on high. But when you're talking about young kids with their troll motors, they don't have to think about where that pedal's going to go because automatically left hand, right hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to go, I need to go that way. So, it's kind of easier to.
It made it easy for him.
And then he could just say, focus on the fish.
Focus on the fish.
Mm-hmm. The important part.
Focus on thinking about the fish. But this was a good event. We had a lot of momentum. We had 130 boats. In the morning, watching them take off, it was calm. I was excited. I was very, very excited about the day. Did you approach this tournament any different than you would a normal event? Like, what was your mindset going into the Ike Foundation event? Was it different than when you fished a BFL a few weeks ago? Was it different than?
Because it's just the fact that the only way I was to fish the tournament, I wanted to fish it with my daughter. And if not, I was just going to make the donation. I really wanted to, because I've been very busy at work. There's just no life happening, and I wanted to get fishing down there. But now to fish that particular tournament, I've been fishing the flats for years. I did good in the BFL, so I knew where I can go and catch some fish. I mean, I didn't put in any practice, but I figured I'd go down there. I had a little history. I'd seen the conditions. I had no idea all that Yoo-Hoo was always tore up, thunder and lightning. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So I decided I'd go out in that big main flat where everybody goes, and I just figured I'd go out there, start on some old waypoints that I had. I didn't know if grass was there or not. I just figured a starting spot.
Yeah.
And my main goal really is I wanted Sam to catch fish.
Yeah.
And I was hoping she'd like catch the biggest fish because that would just she's awesome, that kid. But she's still talking. I mean, it's the memories of life that we created. But so when I was out there, I really wasn't. There was no pressure, man.
Right.
I didn't fish clean.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother me. Usually, if I don't fish clean, I know fishing each tournament, as you well know.
Yeah.
You get in any. Yeah. I'm not. This was like a classic type tournament, but when you get into these big events and you're fishing for money, and you swat at one and you see, oh no, that was a better than a three.
Yeah.
I don't know what they weigh when I miss them, but they were big.
Yeah.
And you're like, that ain't good. That usually hurts you.
Right.
And that happened. I didn't care.
Yeah. It was nice.
She's catching fish. I caught fish. I mean, we did start off the day with a 4-9, but then she caught one right after. Matter of fact, I was trying to put the 4-pounder in the live well, and I had to grab hers and bring it in the boat.
Wow.
And that's just how the day went. So that's really my – I really
– So you were free. Like, you were freed up. Your mind was freed up because it was a win for you before you even made a cast.
Yeah,
right.
You were you were getting to fish with your daughter. That's, you were getting to hang out with her at a cool event.
Truth be known, I kind of I used her. I gave her a spinning rod, 8-pound test. Because I'm a power fisherman, man. I mean, my lightest line I use down on flats is 14.
Yeah.
You know, I just – everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah.
That's – you know. So usually if there's a finesse bite on down there and they're not biting power baits, I'm usually – you don't see me.
Right.
But – So, you know, just to be able to go down there, I gave her something to use it as practice. I knew she would focus on it and stay with it.
Yeah.
Because she, like I was talking to you earlier, not that she doesn't know, I gave her two rods. One out of brush hog, one out of Senko.
Yeah.
You choose whenever the little man up and the little voice in your head says.
Yeah.
Go at it. But I gave her that Senko, and she stayed with it. She focused. And that, dude, I already won. It didn't matter. And then when we were doing good, I'm like, 9 o'clock, I got 16 pounds. I'm like, ooh. I said, we get 2 4-pound bites. We're going to be in the top five. I said, we throw a 5 and a 4. We might be winning a boat.
Yeah.
And we just kept fishing and fishing. And don't you know, at the end of the day, or after 1 o'clock, she catches, I thought it was a 3-10.
Yeah.
And then I caught a 4-7 after that.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, it's like, you know how sometimes it just doesn't. It just happened, man.
We talked about it yesterday at the event, and I look back on a lot of my wins, whether it's, you know, was a federation event or a tour event, but it seems like wins sneak up on you a lot, right? Like, you know, it's not – they're not the ones where you go out and you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to win. I got the mega load of fish. Those you don't usually don't win.
Yeah, and a true story.
Something changes and you suck, and you don't even have like a money finish in those tournaments.
Don't ever win practice.
Yeah, it's like, but the ones like you're saying where
Michelle,
you know,
my wife will tell you.
Yeah, and this
when I have my worst practices, is when I win.
Yeah,
because it's like, all right, I tried. You know, you should have been doing this. You should have been doing that. I throw the book in. They don't read it.
Right.
Okay, I go up the next day and go, well. I usually catch them on whether maybe a chatterbait, a jig, a sink, or whatever it is, and that's what I go with. And then you let the fish tell you, and you just kind of go. And if it don't work out, sometimes you kick that trolling motor, you know. But you know, but it just I still can't. I mean, I can't believe we won only because it's so hard to win.
Yeah.
Every tournament I fish, I believe I have the skills to win, just like you do.
Yeah.
I want to win every tournament. I don't care what tournament it is.
Yeah.
But that tournament, I just wanted to do good just so I could take her across the stage. She's just – it's
– Yeah. What's interesting, I want to tell you this. So I watched you guys weigh in, and I watched you bring the bag in, and you stopped in the one tank. You went up, and you weighed the fish. And I watched you come off stage, and I saw that you were happy, you know, you were confident, but you didn't have the winning expression on your face when you weighed in. You were stoked and you were satisfied. I could tell. But as you walked away, I'm like, and I'm in my mind because I know what everybody's weighing. I'm like, damn. And I'm like, I didn't know the exact numbers. I'm like, that's right up there, you know. But I was just thinking in my mind. But I was watching you go, and you're like, I'm like, he doesn't know. I'm looking at you, and I'm like, Mark doesn't know that that's a winning bag today. And I still didn't know at that point because we had other guys coming, but that was a winning class bag for a tougher day on the upper bay. You had no idea.
No, when you – there was 12 flights.
Yeah.
And history on tidal water, that tournament set up perfect for last flight.
Right. Low tide, 2 o'clock.
Oh, you had
incoming tide at 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm like, that tidal change can sometimes.
Dave, what flight were you?
We were my first time in the life of tournament angling, boat one. You do not want to be boat one on the flats ever, dude.
No.
Boat number one.
Well, you get to get to your spot and then watch 100.
Yeah, you get to get to your spot at slack high tide, dude.
Well, so,
slack high tide in the middle ditch and watch the other 100 boats come in on pad right next to you.
Mark, that's the awesomest thing about it. If you go, I don't know if you know John McGraw at all.
Yeah.
If you go to his, if you ask him, like, our first spot before we found our mistake was where you were at. If you look at his GPS and you go into the details of that, we were right where, that's how we saw your boat and your motor. But we went, we caught a three and we caught a six at a spot way out in the middle of nowhere, dude. And we died there in practice, dude, waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
And then that's when we got to where you were at about 8 a.m. and hung out till about 10:30. And it's not, if I was with him or him, we would have been right up on you. But me and John, that's not us.
Yeah.
we didn't push up on you. We were just fishing.
Well, that's one thing guys had actually that I, you know. Yeah.
These two would have, they would have been within the rules.
Yeah, would have been. You're not
kicking that trolling motor for real.
Yeah, I would have been kicked wrong.
But I ain't bullshitting you. That's how we saw you.
Like guys that I know pretty well.
That was our first spot. Yeah,
guys I know pretty well. They always give me room. You know, when I was younger, that's what I said to my daughter. We had one guy do something really dumb, and I said, you know, I've calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
Because if I was 30, it's like, you know, Tony Goin told me back in the day. You know, if you let these guys out here push you around, they will push you around. They'll take your spot from you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, I'll have none of that.
Yeah.
And we could tell stories all day about divisionals,
about
guys.
Five
that,
alive? What?
No. Guys, we fished in the regional one year up in Raystown Lake, and a guy from Delaware hole jumped. He fished what he our guide at one was a rider, so he took the guy there. Well, Jersey, we always fish. There are spots. They're not Delaware spots.
Yeah.
Well, the guy showed up on the spot, and I immediately went right at him. Right up to him. What are you doing here? Oh, yeah. Rich said I could fish here, and I was like, you know, things didn't get so pretty, and he kind of made him leave. Well, at the end of the night, we're all having beers at the bar. We're drinking with the boys from Delaware. And the guy starts talking about, he said, you know, you got this one asshole on your team.
You can say asshole.
Okay. He said, you got this asshole on your
Mike
team.
Mike will be dropping.
Some more whiskey. Yeah.
Section three.
But, and I'm sitting there laughing. I'm like, and we were getting along. I said, yeah, dude, that was me. And he's like, wow. I'm like, yeah, I'm the same guy that was going to kick your ass out on the water. What you're doing wasn't right. Come on, man. So I always stay away from crowds down there. I don't play well with others. So I just get away, do my own thing. And I had to walk I call it walking the dog. I have a couple boats. They come in on me, and I just walk them away. You lead them because they follow you.
Yeah.
And then you go back.
Yeah.
And I think the key.
Walk the dog.
You got to walk them away, man. I got to go walk the dog. Why?
That's a great term.
You got to leave the spot.
Wow.
Why? I got to go walk the dog because he's pissing on my spot. Now he's ruining it. You know? Got to move.
Walk the dog.
And squirt him out.
That's awesome.
It was terrible. But, I mean, you know, but that tournament, yesterday I was like, how often can you fish down there, catch as many fish we did, and – really?
Yeah, there was nobody within 200 yards of you because I know where you were at, and I know when, you know, we were like, God damn it, dude, like, we should have come here.
There's a couple little keys that I figured out up in there. Like I said, I found it last year. I just took the guys that worked with me for, you know, practicing, and I was actually flipping a pack of crawl at the time, and I whacked one almost 5 pounds. So, you know, I catch a 5-pounder, so I'm like, boop.
Yeah.
We found it on low tide with me standing on the front looking just for foldovers.
Yeah.
Looking for grass folded over. Like, all right, there's like seven of them right there. Let's just stop right here. And that's how we found it, dude.
Yeah.
It wasn't much.
No,
it was visible on low tide, you know. But
yeah, and it's a unique situation. I'm not going to explain this spot totally because that's easier. There's some things out there that I've learned over the years that I'm sure guys in this room know what to look for.
Don't explain too, because Dave actually is on the wrong spot. So.
We're not on the wrong spot.
No, I'm just saying that there's grass all over out there.
So hold on. Mark, how much moving around did you do? Did you move around a lot?
I sat on one spot, and I fished maybe, I don't think it was 100, maybe 50 yards.
Did you win? Yeah. Did you win from like, did you move from like 8 to about 10:30 in the morning? Is that where you won?
No, I had 9 o'clock. I had 16 in the boat. At 1 o'clock, I had about 17 in the boat, and that's when I at 1:10. It was right around quarter after one is when she caught hers, and then 10 minutes later I caught mine. So between like 1:10 and 1:30, we caught two key fish.
We saw you between about 8 and 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I caught. We were catching fish all through that time, but a lot of fish were all 2.5 pounds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like 2.8 and 2.9 was
there.
Yeah, there was, which is really nice to see when you fish a body of water. There's a really good – there's been a good spawning class out there for the past couple of years. So there was a mixture of that. Like I said, I get away from the crowds. There's I have my philosophy to all that other than I just can't stand guys that block. It's like, you know, it's like almost like you know, fishing needs to be like wrestling or something or MMA. It's like, dude, you want to get this close. I just believe everybody should be a little bit more courteous, but it's I understand it. All the big ones are here. Well, not all of them.
That's right.
The species would never survive.
That's right.
There's a lot of big groups of fish down there. Dude, I love it because it always changes. You really got to be on your toes. Them sandbars?
Yeah.
I watch guys doing stuff. I'm going, look, I've been down here for 30 years. There's no way you know where you're going. You're just waiting for them to just.
Running over boat killers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But, it was.
All right. So let's get this out of the way. There's people watching, and you don't have to get any specifics. Sure. People watching and listening right now that just want to know. Generally, what were the baits that you guys went on? We don't need specifics.
Well,
generally.
We were using we started out the morning with higher water, high slack. I mean, when it's high and slack, nothing's moving, so you might want to think about throwing something that's not moving.
Yeah.
That's just kind of like my philosophy, which has worked for years. And then we picked up a few fish early, and then as the day goes, I had a chatterbait.
Yeah.
When the wind picked up, there was a certain things. You know, we all see, look at the water. We think we look at it the same, but we see different things.
Yeah.
You know, you and I go down a bank, you might like, I've done it a lot of times and I give guys, spot. You know, when you fish with a partner, you know, you don't want to, I pick my prime spots, but there's spots it's like, all right, well, I'll just look at that one. It's like, and you go, I hope that 5-pounder ain't on. And they miss it.
Yeah.
So there are certain things I look for, but chatterbait, I caught a good one on. Depth Senko caught tons and tons of fish. There ain't no secret about that. You know, there's several techniques. We rigged it, you know, weightless and Texas rig.
Texas style.
Yeah.
And weightless.
Yeah. Like I caught the big fish on Texas rig. My daughter caught mostly everything else. On
All right. Side. There you go, guys. Listen, no magic bait there. It wasn't like some X prototype lure from Japan. It was same stuff that everybody's throwing out there pretty much.
A Senko, Brushhog, a chatter bait. Right? Yeah. It's like when you're fishing the flats, 3 to 3 go to. I mean, there's a lot of different baits that work, but. You know, we're coming into the time of year now. I think, you know, your spinnerbaits and chatterbaits will probably come in a little bit more of a play now because they're going to feed up after the spawn.
Get more into that post-spawn.
Yeah, for the
mode,
catfish 30. With the spinnerbaits, dude. I could have had a catfish fry on one of our practices.
Oh, chatterbaits.
I could have fed a platoon, man. It was.
Yeah, you know, I like it when they fool you, too, because you need that one big fish and you're throwing it all aside and then you hang it and you're like, until that caddy rolls, you don't know.
I had an 8-pound caddy jump on tournament day. I'm like, net, John, it's a tank. And it wasn't doing catfish shit.
No, not yet. You know what I mean?
It jumped like a largemouth out there. That actually did a head shake.
They spinning.
Dude, I thought I had a 7-pounder
on there. It was with the bass, and so he thought it was a bass.
Yeah, they were hanging out.
That's it, yeah.
Catfished.
They're brothers. I do have to, Dave, real quick, I do want to tell the story because it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I want to tell the story to you.
Oh,
so Dave is early flight, right? So you're still out there fishing. You haven't even caught your good ones yet. Dave's weighing in with John McGraw, and Dave doesn't even want to weigh. They've got 3 fish.
I wanted to throw them back. John wanted to bring it in. He didn't want to have a 0 next to his name. John,
so they've got 3 fish. They've got two good ones. They've got 2 good ones, 2 3-plus-pounders, and they got a smaller one. And so Dave's like, come on, John, we don't need to weigh this. Oh, no, he wants to walk past Dave. So, all right. So John gets his fish. And I get it because I like weighing them too. Like, I like weighing them. You work hard. You know, you want to at least go up. If you got a fish to weigh, you know, just go weigh it, right? So I understand that. John, I know you're watching. I get it. So John goes up there and, you know, screw it, man. He's supporting a kids event, you know.
Right on.
I'm his friend. You know, he's just happy, you know. He's gone up, got to spend a day with his buddy Dave, you know. Spending time with your friend's a hard thing, you know. So he's happy. He's gone up. He weighs his fish. As he's gone through this process, Dave's telling me about his day, you know, and like, it just didn't work out and this and that. And, you know, we only got 3 and, you know, Dave's explaining to me. And then all of a sudden John comes. He weighs in. I don't see any of this happen. I don't hear any of this. He comes back. John's like dejected, like head down. what happened? You know, John's like, I didn't, man, we didn't count. We only got to weigh 2. I didn't know it was a 15-inch size limit. Oh, no. I tried weighing in one. It was like 13 and a quarter.
Not even, dude. It might have just been 12, bro. That was the only one I put in the bucket.
That was yours?
Yeah. It was our first fish. I'm like, it was like our first fish, like an hour left. I'm like, dude, are we even putting this in here? Or are we just going home, dude?
Yes. So awesome. Oh, so not only did they only weigh three, well, they actually only weighed two.
Yeah, we ate a penalty, bro.
That's so awesome, man. What a great story.
Yeah. So, but you know what? John, hold on now, Brian.
But wait, before you tell me this, when John came and said that.
He was mad.
He was mad. But when you heard it, do you remember your reaction? Dude, you were like, oh, John. Dude, it was like you started like moving your head like, oh, come on, John. You don't even know the rules.
Yeah. And then, good job. That's, we rely on John to know shit.
Yeah, and then John hit you right back. Dude. He said, Dave, you shouldn't have bullshit. You should know the rules, too.
Yeah, he's our smartest friend. You're supposed to know that. I rely on you to be the smartest friend. It's your job to be the smartest friend all the damn time.
Like, you're the funny friend.
Yeah, I'm the funny.
He makes the jokes.
I'm the one that apologizes for jokes. John's the funny. John's the smart guy. He knows everything. He knows how to get
places. That was John's boat, right?
Oh, my God. Huh?
John's boat. Oh, well, you know, come on.
He knows how to get to places without GPS, like weird places. Like, he's smart. He's the smartest guy we know.
Yeah, he's got a Fed tournament. He's got a Fed tournament next weekend?
Nah, he's supposed to know that. I never for one second would have questioned the limit size when John was like, yeah, put it in the bucket, man. All right. I thought he was on top of it, dude. I didn't read nothing.
Here's the best
part. Yeah, I had a license. If I didn't have to submit a license to Kate, I wouldn't even have had one.
Here's the best part about the whole thing. Most of the anglers that fish with us don't pay attention. So we text, we email, and we hand out the information the morning of.
Still don't
you
work.
Get the information three separate ways, three separate times, and John still doesn't know.
Yeah, man. And that blew me away because I can mention the most obscure things that would leave him and him with their mouth 2 inches agape because they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And he's like, oh, yeah, but did you follow up on it? He throws it right back at me, man. Like, that dude knows everything, man.
Except for the size limit.
Made the penalty on stage with a 5-pound bag if he wasn't throwing back and we couldn't go home. Or...
Right. So he asked for it.
That was awesome. Oh, besides you winning the boat, I would say that was the best moment of the tournament for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Reaction, like, dude, you know. It wasn't. He was so mad at me. I'm supposed to know that. I'm the friend you don't count on for the rules because I break them all, man. Right. I will break every rule.
Right. Back earlier before
this. It's so, yeah.
Yeah, don't rely on Dave for knowing that stuff.
He made up his own rule in the studio, which wasn't a real rule.
No, it was the opposite.
That's why
of
it was
right
the
rule.
Opposite.
That's why it's bold black letters, 15-inch. Okay.
No, I didn't read
any You're here
of
for
that
jokes.
Part.
That's it, man.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I want to jump back. Dude, you've won your share of events over the years, and we're going to take a break after this conversation, and we're going to jump into a little history. But I want to know, we're a day away, it was yesterday, relive the moment. When did you realize that you had won the tournament? When did you know that you won, and what was the feeling yesterday?
Well, when I knew I won, I was, you know, had Keith Cowan and his brother Zach and a bunch of guys – you know, Sean McKee, everybody.
Hammers, by the way.
Sean
McKee winning a boat in the Everstarts.
All good fishermen, all good young men that I feel privileged of meeting because I met them all when I got back into the nation so I can, you know, achieve my dream, make it to the Classic. And they're like, dude, you think you got it? And, I mean, you hear the young Connors coming up with a 20-some pound bag, and I'm like, dude. You know, I don't care if the scale's off. 19.5 pounds on my scale doesn't win tournaments down here.
Yeah.
Right. A tough – so there's always – when you put 140 boats, somebody had to catch
some 20. Some dope with a chatterbait in the last hour is going to get 21
pounds, dude.
It happens.
And that tidal change.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, when I weighed in – so we're standing there. So the moment I knew I won is when you – said second place, and you said, and Lunker. I was like, I looked at the kid like, we won. She's like, we won? I was like, we won. We did not have Lunker. We won. And then it was I was hugging her. Keith Callen comes over. He gives me, we're hugging her, chest bumping it. It was like, yeah, dude. It's like, because it's, you know, what I've been going through in my life, and just to be able to come back with time off and then compete with, you know, I wasn't competing against the other anglers. I'm competing against the flats, which that's one of my bodies of water.
Yeah.
I've been kicking butt down there a long time. But when you have guys that fish it as long as you have and have the same skill sets, and then these younger guys come in and you guys come out with the Bass University and the information and the knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't change anything I've done in my life, but I sure wish they had this fishing stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
High school. God, I probably would have went to college, you know, but instead of working.
Right.
But that moment when you said that, I was just like, hey, man. Hey, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was just,
it's the coolest.
That's crazy. So you didn't get that excited feeling until you heard the second place call.
Yeah. Till the very, and that was the very end.
Wow.
Yeah, because usually
you have that feeling.
I've never
had it, but I know guys that did. And they told me that you know.
I've listened to guys who have won stuff.
But until you, here's the thing. Until you know, you don't know.
I know. I knew I had a top five bag. Okay, I knew we were going to place top five, which I was very excited about, you know, because I get my, you know, taking her for the first event like that. We fished smaller tournaments. We fished Cooper River one year.
Yeah.
When I first got with Michelle and her daughters, and we fished the Cooper River. I don't know how many years ago it was. They on the lake I live on. They were going to have this little buddy tournament. Well, my boat, my original, I still have my Fisher Marine from 1979 that I first bought. You know, why sell it? It's, you know, ain't got to feed it. And it needed work. It needed carpet and everything. Well, she stripped that boat down, put carpet, it re-riveted it, did everything to get that boat ready to fish.
Wow.
So when we were fishing out there and I seen at 9 o'clock, I had 16 pounds. I was like, ooh, I got over five hours to get two good bites.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's, I like them odds.
Yeah.
And like I told her, I said, you know what? I don't care where we fall. I know we got a top five.
Yeah.
I said, it was a 3.5 that I had. I thought it was a 3.1, but I had a 3.5. It was my smallest fish. I, in my heart, knew I needed a 5-pound bite. I figured I needed 21, 22 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, always.
With the people that were in that tournament.
Yeah.
That's just how the cards fall sometimes.
Yeah.
It's, but I knew I was doing good. I mean, dude, your first fish, you know, was a four. Everything was, I didn't fish clean as far as hook sets.
Yeah.
They caught me off guard a little bit. But the whole day, I just made that right decision in the morning, landed right on them, and stayed on them.
Yeah, and when you know you win, when you finally do know you won, it's like a relief, you know?
Oh, it's...
Because I can remember just a quick story, like even on when the Elites fished the Delaware, and, you know, like on the last day, and in the Elites, I love the Elites because you don't know, right? MLF, you know everything at every minute.
Right.
But in those bass events, you don't know, you know? And I remember even after I caught my fifth keeper, like I fished like I needed 20 pounds to win that day. And I didn't know. I didn't know I had it won on my first keeper of the day. You know,
right.
I didn't know any
know
of that. And I remember when I got back to Penn's Landing and I had Wes with me, one of the camera guys, Wes, who's a great, great friend, shoots for JM. And I never did this before, but as I was idling in, you know, went past the check-in, and then you idle past the wall where all the fans are at, I looked at him. I'm like, you got to tell me. You got to tell me. Did I win? You got to tell me. And he, like, pulls his phone out of his pocket, and he's like, you got it. And he told me. But up until that point,
yeah, you didn't know.
You don't know.
But isn't that when you trimmed up and wow?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know the thing that when you're fishing tournaments, you know when you're not going to cash.
Right.
That feeling when it hits you. You guys ever been there? Like that last hour. And
you're like, haven't left it. Can't seem to get out of that realm.
I've been there.
But you just know, you're like, yeah. and you're going through the motions. You're you know, it's the chances, because just how the day's going, what you're catching, you're just, you're just not, you're always chasing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yesterday, on the flats, I never feel that like I'm chasing down the flats.
Right.
I mean, I've been in situations, I know what to throw down there, I know what they bite. I've been in wee beds and around fleets and watched, catch them. I can't get a bite.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But it's, there's, you can just go why and go, well, that's fishing, because that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, they don't call it catching, they call it fishing.
Right.
So it's, but yeah, I didn't, I was excited. I was like, I didn't want to get her hopes up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, oh, we won, we got the boat. I was like, well, I said, well, we did pretty good. I said, you know, 17.9. I said, and then I heard 17 something. So I didn't, I thought I had 17.84. Because once you said, whoever called out 17, or, whoever called, when you called out the 17, I was like, that's, my brain just went blank.
So, did she start counting yet and raining that Jeep Wrangler money in your face? Like, yo.
Nah, she was totally surprised.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, she just can't believe that we won a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, when I heard you and your daughter won, I immediately thought of, like, if me and my son won, he would want, like, his TV, his room, like, 360 with TVs and, like, video game consoles and every YouTube super channel.
Game consoles.
Well, she has her own place now. She's 30. She's a manager at a Walmart. And so she didn't there was one kid standing there, and he goes as after I was talking with Brian, and then he looks over and he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $10,000 for the boat right now. She goes, yeah, we'll take it. I'm like, yeah, whoa. No, we won't.
Yeah.
No, 10 grand's not a deal, honey.
Not a good deal. In today's market, not a good deal.
Not a good deal.
So, hey, Mike, let me correct something from earlier. The only time I ever knew that I won a tournament on the way in was when he and I set the record on the Delaware River. Because you looked in the Delaware, we looked in our live well, and they're back. Like, you never have it where their backs are sticking out
of
the water.
Well, that's 17, whatever. What did you have, 17, three-quarter?
No, it was an eight-fish limit, and it was like a three-pound average. So it was 24 and change.
24 and change. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But our best would have been at least 19 pounds on the river, dude.
Yeah, that's insane.
But that's the only time I ever knew we won. My boat was completely destroyed. We didn't have no trolling motor.
That was my boat.
No, it was my boat. I stripped my trolling motor. Remember, I was steering the trolling motor. I had to take the head off, and I was steering it from the gears.
You might be right.
Yeah, I know I was right.
Like
the like Pong.
Dude,
Atari.
We stripped the cable. Like, we blew the cables.
Because they're stuck in the mud.
And we had to, exactly. Bigfoot. We had to I had to take the head off, and I had to, like, steer the motor from the gears. This is before, like, all you spoiled brats with your friggin' servos now, steering the motors. It's back when you had cables wheeling things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that he has to, like, bash someone.
Someone's getting insulted.
Somehow, while explaining.
It's me exuding low self-esteem on someone else.
Oh, man.
Hey, yeah, Sleepy Joe had to shame me. He says, let me have these glasses, Sleepy Joe, you prick. He says, how does Dave, who was a cop and best friends with a pro fisherman, not know the rules? Come on, man. Because I didn't read them, Sleepy Joe. That's why, because I don't pay attention.
Dave, don't read, bro.
Rules are for followers. Thank you, Brian. And
oh, jeez. No, but you know what? That is the one thing I love about our antiquated weigh-in. We've never tried to figure out a way to put the weights up, because it's beyond us how we would do it.
Yeah.
So we've just never even tried.
Yeah.
Like, we weigh in and everybody talks, and then everybody hangs out. Like, back when we were in Camden, we had a beer garden people just hung out in. Like, everyone, that's the nice part. Like, most of the anglers might put their boat on the trailer, but then they all kind of come back and hang out.
Yeah.
And we could get sophisticated. I'm sure we could figure it out. But why?
Yeah.
It's so much more fun like this.
I like it. Because, the way it is.
So that I don't have to stay until the very last moment. I can go to the bathroom. I can get a drink.
Yeah, but why?
Because I had to go to the bathroom and get a drink. It's really bad.
Brian had to get an orange crush.
Definitely.
So it's not Brian. Yeah. I have
definitely
to enjoy
the atmosphere at Camden better than I did in Northeast.
What?
I like the beer garden.
Well, so
it's
been... Last year, because of COVID, we were unable to have a beer garden. And then because Naughty Goose is there, it's tough. But I think because we've been going, we actually had this conversation, and the ladies and I have talked about it. Like, we need to find a way to work with Naughty Goose or do something to have that beer garden, like something there.
Oh, I'm sure they'd be all for it if they set up like a stand there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sell them orange crush. They were delicious. I never had one until Keith kids here tried this. I'm like, oh, dude, they're dangerous.
Yeah,
yeah, they're dangerous.
I didn't have one. I had three.
Several. Several. Here's the other thing I want to run past you. And I'm a big believer in this, but I want to hear it from you. So, you know, when you won yesterday, when I called you up and you know, it was all official. It was a cool moment for me because I've known you for so long. We've competed against each other for so long, and it was a cool moment for me. But like, I had a flashback to you fishing that event last year, and I remember us talking last year, and you were, you know, filling me in with, you know, what your life, you know, what's been going on with you, you know, over the last few years. And it seems like to me, it's like a lot of times when you win, it's like, I don't want to say meant to be, but the timing's right. Like when I won the Classic, like, dude, my life was sort of in the toilet. I was losing some sponsors. I had written it off. I was out, you know, like in my mind, I was done. And it was like that win, like, was meant, you know, it was like a big thing for me at that time, right? It sort of uplifted me again from the ashes, you know?
Let you know that your path in life that you're taking, it's like, you know, it's, you know, we all know what deja vu is, okay? A lot of times, you whatever it is, it happens. You get that deja vu.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's the first time I was here.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was meant to be. It's just meant to be. And when it comes to these, you know, like I said, everything I went through personally where I had to stop fishing, which was, God, man, that's like a damn death sentence.
Yeah.
And but I had to.
Yeah.
You know, I did what I had to do. I fought my battles. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we, in the end, I beat the cancer. I don't have the cancer.
Yeah.
That's gone. The treatments were the downfall of it. That's the side effects is what almost took me out.
Right.
And from errors that people made, but you're dealt the card.
Yeah.
And I never gave up. I still want to fish the Classic, dude. I want that in a damn worse way.
Yeah.
You know, when we qualified, you and I qualified the same year for the top 150s.
We did.
You know, and
we did.
We had conversations of our lives that you and I were going through. Like, I remember you and me sitting around one time. I don't even know where we were at, but we were talking about, and I remember you looked at me and goes, you said, dude, how the hell are we fishing and competing with our lives turned upside down?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, because this is the only time we can shut it out.
Right.
You know, when you go on that water and you're fishing, I'm able to, you know, like you hear me talking earlier about, like, I don't want to be around crowds. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Because I'm a jabberjaw, dude. I talk to everybody. Yeah. I have my own business. I sell all the time.
Yeah.
But it's that focus. You could just put that fish in. It's good for the soul. And you were able to battle through it in your way.
Yeah.
You've become very, very successful. I'm so, I'm actually, you know, proud to be your friend. I remember Timmy Roach's days. Remember
likewise.
That?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the dreams, the things we were coming up with. And I was like, wow, man, I'm with the right guys.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I didn't come from a background of tournament fishing. You know, I was basically, you know, learn on your own. And back in the day where everybody kept their damn mouth shut.
Right.
Nobody pointed, and they're like, I'm not telling you because I might get that sponsorship. Yep. It was really tight-lipped. So, you know, so I talk with you and Pete, and, you know, I basically had to drop out. And like I said earlier, I didn't quit. I just had to punt.
Right.
But when I dropped back to punt, somebody blocked it.
Right.
So it set me back a little bit further. Yeah. But I never gave up that dream and that desire to want it. And when I went through all these difficulties – and then I started, you know, last year was the first time I fished in any tournament was the team tournament up on Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
With all these new young guns.
Yeah.
And I made it to fifth, and everyone there, I mean, it was a pretty emotional moment because they're all clapping for me and they're yelling Luke Schrader. Remember, yelling, he looked at me and goes, he's back.
Yeah.
And dude, it hits me to the heart. It just breaks, you know, it's just something that you have that, when you have that passion in life for something and it's almost taken away from you.
Yeah.
And you know, you're knocked down.
Yeah.
And I refused to quit. And then I saw a movie a couple of years ago. It's called The Pursuit of Happiness. With Will Smith?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a true story. Until she told, because I was getting pissed, because I was like, dude, I mean, how much can a guy take?
Yeah.
And so that's why I just think about stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's when things get tough, it's like, you know, forget about why me. Okay, ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, maybe have it shot and get it off out of your system. But you're the only one that can answer that question. You're the only one that can, you know, no matter you have a supportive wife, or you know, like you have, I have, and, you know, and friends, it you up here is what you got to have right. And I've just am fortunate enough that I'm able to stay focused on my end game.
Yeah.
And I'm still have that focus. And then when you see these new young guys coming on, it's like, wow, man, there's some really good young men up there.
Good guys,
you know what? And I love seeing them, and I just love it when I come out on top of my beetle because it's like, the old dog still got it.
Yeah.
I don't have all them fancy electronics. I really need to hire somebody to go out and teach me how to use them because I've been using it for 10 years and I don't know how to use them.
Right.
I can turn it on.
Yeah.
Zoom in, zoom out. Man, I'm just not really good, but I'm old school. Give me a flasher, how deep it is, and let me go.
Yeah.
It's like I said, fishing's nothing but a mental game.
Yeah.
You know, I should have brought this statement something, but you know, if it's all state of mind. If you think you lost, you're gonna lose.
Right.
You know, I never think that way. I always think I'm gonna win. I always think I'm gonna do good. I always feel it, and then, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And this weekend, it just everything works.
It's awesome. Well, it's
right on, man.
I always say that you don't put it into the universe.
Yeah.
You don't put the negative into the universe. Isn't that what I always tell you?
Oh yeah.
Don't even put that thought out into the universe because the universe could take it.
Yeah.
Make that the reality.
And I went to a seminar years ago. You know, a guy speaking, you know, just improvements and there was, you know, different things. And one thing he brought to my attention is like, You get a negative thought in your head, and if you get a negative thought about something, your mind will automatically run with that negative thought.
Yeah.
And your mind, when you have a positive thought, it doesn't keep running with a positive thought. It's like a human nature.
Yeah.
So you have to teach yourself, like when something bad happens, just tone it down. You know, if you got to kick that troll motor or yell or scream to get it out of your system, let it out.
Let it out real quick.
And then go forward.
And go forward.
You're no stranger to that.
I know all about that. I know all about that. But, you know, fishing for you is a passion and that you were able to get back to it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I heard you talk that it was therapeutic. It was for me over my career. When I had downs, when I was going through depression, when all that stuff happened, fishing got me through it. I know it's the same for you.
Yeah.
But, dude, when I got to announce that yesterday, knowing everything you've been through, it was an awesome moment for me.
Oh,
I got to tell you, it was, you know, 6 years we've given that trophy away to a lot of great fishermen. Luke Schrader, Senator, you know, a lot of guys that we fish with that are amazing at local anglers. I was proud to give it to all of them, but it meant a lot to me yesterday that you won. And I'm so happy you did.
I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, it was,
big win.
Hell
big
yeah.
win.
Hell
yeah, dude.
Big win, Mark.
That was
an old Federation warrior, dude.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, I never saw myself at 60. I don't feel like I'm 60. You know, I'm around guys that are a little bit younger than all that. They thought how they're old men and that I still hang with them 30, 40 year old retards, you know, it's just a number and I have a goal set. I mean, Michelle and I, we talk about all the time. It's where I want to go. I want to fish that damn classic.
Yeah. That's a goal. That's a goal.
Yeah.
That's
I
your
mean,
goal.
And
Bassmaster Classic.
And then when you guys say, if you know, and then I just believe in my heart, if I make the damn thing, I'm going to win it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
See, I would show up with the missus, and I'd be the second person holding your big fat head up on a stick.
Bro. Nice. That's right. All right, now listen. Yes. You said something, Dave, which I like, and it's a great segue. I'm going to take a break. You said old Federation warrior.
Oh, come on.
And listen, we're going to – dude, now this was an awesome first segment, but we're gonna start going deep on you on the second segment. I want everybody watching tonight. I hope you're having a great time. I know we are. We're talking to Mark Schaefer here on Ike Live. Of course, won the tournament. We're gonna come back, Brian. We'll take a little bit of break. When we come back, we're gonna start digging deep. We're gonna start talking about old stories. In fact, we might even have a couple old school guests come on the line tonight here.
Nice.
So
nice.
We'll see who comes in. All right, hang in there with us. Go get a beer. Take a leak. When we come back. More Ike Live.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. Mm-hmm. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high. And let these kids have the experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature. Conservation, ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
TH Marine has been producing top-of-the-line marine accessories to rig boats from transom to trolling motor for decades. From jack plates to fish care to LEDs, TH Marine has you covered. TH Marine, outfitting your boat from transom to trolling motor.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend, and the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? To celebrate taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures. And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? Founders All Day IPA, low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Perfect for any occasion.
We're excited to announce our brand new partnership with an amazing company, Heshy Socks. That's spelt H-E-S-H-I, socks. Go to HeshySocks.com to check out my brand new Mike Iaconelli collection. That's right. I have my own custom socks in tournament colors. I promise you, you will never, I mean never, find a more comfortable sock. The great news, all my socks are under $10 a pair when you use our promo code IKE20. Go to HeshySocks.com, use the promo code IKE20,
to get the most comfortable socks in the world.